Tatogovar. Literally, this means the lower one wins. What does this mean practically? So in Allah, we've seen that there's an idea of blia upleta bechoin, of exuding an absorption via the means of heat. So if you have two pieces of meat that touch one another, and one of them is hot, the hot food is going to transfer some measure of taste into the cold food. Now, that said, when the two foods meet horizontally, but what if they meet vertically? What if one food is stacked upon the other? So in such a case, there's a machlekes in the Gemara Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav Mem Aleph, a machlekes Rav Shmuel. Do we say ilo gavar or tato gavar? Rav says ilo gavar, which means the upper one wins, and Shmuel says tato gavar, meaning the lower one wins. And we follow Shmuel saying tato gavar, the lower one wins. What does this mean? What does it mean for the lower one to win? So it means that we follow the lower food's status. If, say, the top food is hot and the lower food is cold, we consider that the coldness of the lower food beats the hotness of the higher food. And the higher food is viewed by Allah to be cooled by the lower food, such that the higher food will only generate an absorption of kidei klipa. It'll only exude a taste up to a shell's worth, outermost layer, of the lower food. So an example of this would be, let's imagine that you have a piece of hot pork which falls onto a cold piece of kosher brisket. So we don't say that the hot pork completely permeates the piece of kosher brisket, but rather we say that the hot piece of pork is viewed as if it's cooled by the cold kosher brisket on the bottom, and you only need to take off a kidei klipa, the outermost layer of the kosher brisket, in order to then enjoy that cold kosher brisket. In contrast, if you had a hot piece of pork on the bottom and a cold piece of kosher brisket fell on top of the pork, then we would say that the entire kosher brisket is going to be usur based on this din of tato gavar. And the same application would be true if you have meat and milk, and you can play out the example with hot or cold meat and milk, with the meat being on top or the milk being on top, following the same rules that we just expressed with respect to pork and brisket. This concept of tato gavar is paskin in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Basa B'cholov, Simen Tzadi Aleph Sif Dalet. And then again in Hilchos Taruvos, Simen Kofei Sif Gimel. Now, if the bottom piece is hot, such that we say Tata Gavar, how much of the upper piece becomes Asur? So before I said that the upper piece becomes completely Asur, that's true according to the Ramah, who says that we're chayshes that anything is shomein, that any piece of meat is going to be fatty, and therefore we have to assume that any hot piece of meat will completely permeate any other piece of meat that touches it. However, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you'd only need to remove kidei netila, you'd only need to remove 1 inch worth of the cold kosher meat, which fell on top of the bottom non-kosher meat. Another detail of tato gavar relates to a solid which falls into a liquid, and even there we would say tato gavar. So how would this play out? Let's imagine you have a hot piece of meat, a sizzling hot piece of meat, which falls out of a frying pan and into a pot of milk. And the pot of milk is cold. So here we would say tato gavar. And even though the piece of meat is completely submerged within the pot of milk, you'd only need to remove the outermost layer of the piece of meat. In contrast, if a cold piece of meat were to fall into a pot of boiling milk, we would say tato gavar, that the lower one, the milk, wins, in that it permeates its status, or it gives its status to the meat, and then both the meat and the milk would be completely ulcer.